Isn't it great to live in a country where we have a National Day of Prayer? This year, it'll be May 3rd, and that's coming up on Thursday in a very short time. We're going to talk about this right now with Pastor Dion Elmore, the National Day of Prayer. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Pastor Dion Elmore, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Sure. Now, this is the National Day of Prayer that you're talking about. This is the national event, and I understand it'll be, Lord willing, taking place in about 50,000 different communities and so forth across the country.
That is what we estimate for this year. About 50,000 events are going to be millions of people that mobilize in every state in the nation and in most counties and cities. And so we always look forward to the first Thursday in May. Of course, the National Day of Prayer is not just something a bunch of Christians made up. It's actually national observance in our public law, established in 1952 by a joint resolution of the United States Congress and signed into law by President Harry Truman, and then amended in 1988 to make it the first Thursday of May. So every year we rally thousands, tens of thousands, actually, of volunteers around the nation who have their expression in their communities, and they pray for America.
And I understand it's about 17,000 volunteers for this particular year.
Well, we have we have about 17,000 volunteers that we work with that are direct contacts for us, and then they rally volunteers who rally volunteers who rally
wow.
volunteers.
That's
and
great.
So we have a network of leaders. These are all volunteer leaders around the nation. We have 8 national area leaders who then have 50 state coordinators working with them, and then it goes down to the state capital, the city level, and pretty soon you start adding the numbers up, and it's tens of thousands of people in their local community who have a burden to call our nation to pray on this day that we have set apart in our law, which is a wonderful opportunity for we as believers to gather together and to cry out to God on behalf of this nation.
Do the presidents or the congresspeople, the senators, do they usually participate in this or not?
The president every year, because of the public law, is mandated to proclaim a National Day of Prayer. It doesn't matter which president that is. The seated president at the time will do that. We've had that ever since 1952. What we do have is we do have various presidents who participated to greater degrees than others. There was a period of time in the Bush administration, the second Bush administration, where we had observances in the White House. We were invited to come and gather with the president there. That hasn't been the case the last several years, but last year, President Trump, in his first year in office, did have an assembly, a gathering, and in the Rose Garden of the White House, and we're praying for another one this year.
Well, that's neat. All right, so it basically boils down to, you know, what they themselves would like to see, you know, how that works. Now, this radio station where we're talking from is located specifically in South Florida. And I can tell you that the different communities in South Florida are different, you know, in their makeup in some ways. So, for example, I know one city where the mayor is a professing Christian, sent his children to a Christian school, you know, et cetera, and he is very active, and local clergy people meet and pray and volunteers, et cetera. And then there's another community, you know, not too far from that, where I don't expect anybody in the city hall to participate in any kind of prayer, you know. So it's a mixed bag, really.
Well, and the same thing happens in the United States Congress. We have Congress sponsoring an event on Thursday the 3rd. We will be in the U.S. Capitol in the Statuary Hall, and we will be working alongside of Congress, several representatives of Congress, certainly not all of them, but several, that sponsor a National Day of Prayer event there on Capitol Hill. And so we find that all across the United States. What we encourage people to do, though, is, again, since it is a public proclamation through our federal government, we encourage people in who are believers, who are following Jesus in their communities, to gather people together and to cry out to God. And again, we're the National Day of Prayer Task Force back in 1983, the National Prayer Committee, which was headed up by Vonette Bright at the time, the wife of Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ. They had a real heart and burden for prayer and proclamation, and the two of them together were a powerful couple. But Vonette, in 1983, really wanted to help mobilize prayer in our nation in a greater way. And so what she did was she began to call members of Congress. Her son worked on Capitol Hill at the time, and she said, what do I need to do to establish this on a specific day so that we can rally people more effectively? Because prior to 1988, it was on a day, not a Sunday, that it was required in the law for the president to proclaim that National Day of Prayer, so it could happen any time during the year. So it was very difficult to rally folks. But Vonette was tenacious. She began to call members of Congress and the Senate, and in 1988, through a joint resolution of the United States Congress, mutually, agreed upon by both sides, the president was given a bill to sign into law, and that was President Ronald Reagan. And so since then, we've had this first Thursday of May observance. So we just encourage folks to gather people together in their communities. And we have gatherings, Jerry, every size and every shape and every form. I mean, it's amazing how creative people are related to this topic of prayer. We have prayer flights that go on around every state capital in the United States, pilots, private pilots that take their planes up with people on them, and they pray over every single state capital in the nation.
Oh, wow.
We have, it's just amazing. We have.
You mean they're just, they're just circling the capital?
That's exactly what they're doing. They're circling the Capitol, praying down upon the capital cities in our nation. Again, they just wanted to express the National Day of Prayer in a way that they could, and so they rallied this this prayer flight concept. The other thing that we see is we see a lot of younger people as well. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, for example, the last several years, an organization led by younger leaders, millennials, called Pulse, has put together a National Day of Prayer event. They were at the University of Minnesota, and they rented the Mariucci Arena, the ice arena, and where they play hockey, and they were able to gather, up until just 2 years ago, about 15,000 people. They actually outgrew the venue, and so this year, the U.S. Bank Stadium, and they're rallying people to come together to pray for our nation in large groups. We also find people in their local churches. Churches will open their doors all day long and let people come and go. There are prayer breakfasts that occur in the mornings. There are prayer breakfasts that occur at lunch, or prayer lunches, rather, that occur during the day. And then in Washington, D.C., we as the National Office of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, we work with Congress to do this Thursday evening event. So this year it's going to be broadcast on God TV. Daystar has said they will broadcast it as well. It will be on major Christian radio networks, and we will also have it out through social media. Our estimates are that we're going to have somewhere between 5 to 7 million people watching this year on the evening of May 3rd for this national observance in Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C. So we want to encourage people, if they aren't able to get out, or if they are and they're just available that evening, to join us and to pray for our nation together with us.
And a lot of these, and a lot of these events, by the way, do occur around noon as well, as I understand it.
Many of them do, and that's exactly right. I think what they do is they find slots during the day. During the mornings when people are free, they'll have prayer breakfast. During the noontime, they'll have a prayer lunch. And in the evenings, a lot of churches and groups will have gatherings, whether it's a dinner or whether it's just a gathering in their sanctuary, and to pray for the National Day of Prayer, pray for the nation on the National Day of Prayer.
All right. Now, obviously, America is diverse in terms of, you know, different traditions or whatever. And our laws are such that the Founding Fathers gave us religious freedom, and they obviously expected, you know, vibrant, voluntary religion, and that's the word they would use, but, you know, the context is almost virtually always Christian. But when it comes to prayer, obviously the way a Christian prays and the way a non-Christian might even think about prayer is such that, you know, how does that always work? So, but here's my little 2 cents for whatever it's worth. Whenever I've gone to any of these kind of prayer events, even in City Hall, even in cosmopolitan Fort Lauderdale, I've seen that usually the only people who really care about this stuff are tend to be evangelicals or Christ-centered Catholics, you know, who are, you know, vibrant in their faith. And, you know, so it's not even an issue as to, you know, praying in Jesus' name and that kind of thing.
And you're absolutely right. And that's what we see. And that's, you know, that's why we tell people. I mean, it's opened up back in 1952 when the National Day of Prayer was established. Historically, what was going on in our nation was that we had this onslaught of humanism, which was coming through communistic ideology. And the leaders of our government at the time said that we needed to establish God in prayer in our public laws, lest we lose it over time if this ideology comes in and takes over. And so you have a lot of different ideologies that have come into our nation since 1952, but the people who established the National Day of Prayer, just like the Founding Fathers, and by the way, the first call to prayer was in 1775 by our Continental Congress. And it was established as the first call to prayer and fasting in our nation. And since then, we've seen decade after decade where presidents have called for those things. Again, back in the founding of our nation, it was the Christians who established prayer through their Judeo-Christian perspective.
Absolutely.
And that's what we see again today.
Here's a great anecdote. 1774, September, Philadelphia, very first time that there was such a thing as Congress, the Continental Congress. They met around September 6th, and the first thing they did, they said, okay, we're going to open tomorrow officially. Should we or should we not open in prayer? And, you know, even one of the evangelicals, well-known evangelicals, said, you know, I'm not sure if we should because we're all Christians here, but we pray in different ways, and, you know, it might offend the Quaker, you know, et cetera.
Right. Yeah.
And Sam Adams stood up, and he said, I'm no bigot. I can hear a prayer from a man who loves God and loves his country, you know, regardless of his particular tradition. And, again, this is all within the Christian traditions. So they called the Reverend Jacob Duché to come and pray. And he was an Episcopal priest from Philadelphia, and he came, and he led and had this incredible prayer service, and he read from the readings for that particular day, which happened to be Psalm 35, and it was extremely moving to the Founding Fathers. And in fact, John Adams wrote a letter, a very detailed letter to his wife, Abigail, saying, I can't believe how relevant that psalm was. You must read it for yourself. Because it fits exactly our situation, you know, where they were being persecuted back in Boston. That's who he's writing, his wife back in Boston, the Boston area. And so anyway, and then he says, and furthermore, the minister went into this long, lengthy prayer for our country and our freedom. And he said, man, I wish our minister back home prayed like this, you know. And this is the very beginning of Congress, and Congress has been praying ever since, not in the same way and not with the same fervency and not even necessarily to the same God. But it's very significant that this country, as you say, was brought out in prayer.
Well, you know, it just some fun facts that we throw on our website. I mean, there have been 146 national calls to prayer, humiliation, fasting, and thanksgiving by presidents of the United States from 1789 to 2017. There have been 69 presidential proclamations for a national day of prayer between 1952 and 2017.
I mean, can some of these be found on your website? Because we're basically out of time.
And you can go to the website at nationaldayofprayer.org, and you can explore all about National Day of Prayer.
Excellent.
What we want to encourage you to do is get involved and to pray for our nation.
Okay.
On May 3rd.
Thank you so much, Pastor Dion Elmore. God bless you, sir. All the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.